Let us cultivate the altruistic motivation, seeking complete enlightenment for the sake of liberating infinite, kind, mother sentient beings. With that kind of bodhicitta motivation, that we should all participate in this teaching. If possible, the greatest objective or goal that we could fulfill in this lifetime is to become a Buddha or to attain complete enlightenment in this very lifetime. That would be the highest achievement that one could possibly accomplish. But if we couldn't make for that, so to speak, then the next goal that we should aim for is liberation from samsara or cyclic existence, which we simply call nirvana, you know, completely free of samsaric experiences and existence. But if somehow we couldn't make up for that one, at least we as spiritual practitioners should see that when we leave this world behind, we do not have to be reborn in an unfortunate states of rebirth, or what we call three bad migrations. So in the minimum, we should see that when we say goodbye to this world, that we do not have to be fall into or take rebirth into any of the three unfortunate states of existence.
Voilà. That the nigger, nigger, the taduga, never chevaging, tobala, then conducting the gurusna, then Aranzo, then the Aranzo Turbe, the ginger juice on me, you teach, then about to wear.
Simply put, those are the three spiritual goals that we could set forth for ourselves. And at least we should try to accomplish one of them, if you will, through our spiritual practice and cultivation. And now relating to that, we can talk about what would be the most suitable life basis to cultivate spirituality and to engage in spiritual practice and development, if you ask. What we laid out in those three goals actually contain what we call temporary goal and the long-term goal. Short-term and long-term goals are the temporary or ultimate spiritual goals. Now, the kind of life that we have now, that we are enjoying, which is called precious human life. A precious human life is defined as human life that is characterized by 8 freedoms and 10 enriching factors, 18 wonderful qualities. So the kind of life that we have is, as a matter of fact, the most suitable, the best kind of life that one could have to make a spiritual development or spiritual progress. So we are all very fortunate indeed to have found this very rare yet greatly meaningful precious human life. So this life has all those wonderful great qualities which is not easy to come about, but we have nonetheless found it at this time. So we're very, very fortunate indeed. Now, having found this life, now the next thing we can talk about is, what kind of, a spiritual path or dharma or spirituality that we should adopt and cultivate in order to realize, the goals which we mentioned earlier.
Talam di karresena ane ane hiji driva da nyom be driva ta tanzu ten ni chom ne be tal lam ta hiji ndu ten go ta ten garan so yore sanji chom di kan nam yore
so with regard to a spiritual path or the method or the technique, if you will, with which we can accomplish our spiritual goals. Now remember that the highest spiritual goal that any of us can, for that matter, any sentient being can attain, is a complete enlightened state, or fully awakened state, simply called Buddhahood. And in order to become a Buddha, it is absolutely necessary that we purify our mind of the two types of mental obscuration. Mental obscuration to liberation, which is simply called delusions or deluded states of mind, and mental obscuration to omniscient wisdom of the state. And so these two types of mental obscuration must be gotten rid of for good and forever in order to become a Buddha. So now the question that we have asked is, what kind of a method or a technique or a path that would enable us to do that? And again, we are very fortunate to have met with Buddha's teaching that provides us, the complete method or the path to be able to purify our mind of the two types of mental obscuration. That's why we often talk about, cultivating method and wisdom together. The integrated path of method and wisdom, upaya and jnana in Sanskrit, is the very path or the practice or the method with which we can get rid of the two mental obscurations and become a
Buddha.
So the important points that I have just made are, all of us are very fortunate to have found this precious human life characterized by freedoms and enriching factors, the most suitable kind of life for making any spiritual development and accomplishment. And we all have found it. And we are also fortunate indeed to be able to meet with the authentic teaching of Shakyamuni Buddha that provides us the complete, you know, method and wisdom to be able to get rid of the true mental obscurations and become a complete enlightened being. So these are all great, wonderful news, and we all have access to all these resources. Now, another thing that we really need to find out is what do we need to do from our side? We got the precious human life. Now, we have met with the Buddha's, you know, teaching, the complete path that leads to enlightenment. Now, what do we need to do from our side to get there, if you ask? Of course, the first thing first, we have to develop, interest in Buddha's teaching or the Buddha's spirituality. And we have to try to cultivate that interest in Buddhist path and teaching. And then we have to educate ourselves about Buddha's teaching. We have to develop the knowledge about Buddha's teaching. Then having gained the knowledge through education, then the next thing, which is perhaps the most important thing, is to implement the teaching, to apply the teaching to ourselves, or to cultivate the teaching within our mind, which is simply called practice, nyamlen in Tibetan. Yeah? So those are the things we need to do from our side. We have to cultivate interest in Buddha's teaching. We have to cultivate a sense of enthusiasm, enthusiastic perseverance. We have to develop the knowledge of Buddha's teaching through education, and then we have to put the teaching into practice.
That choice is young person. Choice is the that leisure career. Choice is the dharma career. That the thamkile pe new choice is the yena ngarazo na nape choice is that the leisure choice is ngaraz nyamzo leisure choice the longto choice ni dosi kegurajo.
So in this regard, I think it's very important for us to be able to understand and identify what do we really mean when we said we need to cultivate dharma or spirituality. The Tibetan term is called chö, which is the translation of the Sanskrit term called dharma. Now, the Sanskrit term dharma is a polysemantic term, meaning it has many shades of meaning. And one of the meanings of dharma is everything that exists is called dharma or phenomena. So everything that exists is called dharma in Sanskrit. Okay? But when we talk about cultivating spirituality, we don't mean cultivate everything that exists. Okay? That's not the sense of the dharma we are talking about. But when we talk about cultivating dharma, we are basically talking about two aspects of the dharma. One is called lungi temba, scriptural aspect of the dharma or the teaching, the scriptural knowledge. The other is the realization or the experiential aspect of the Buddha's teaching. So the dharma that we need to cultivate consists of two dimensions of the aspect. One is the scriptural knowledge, understanding. The other is the inner experience and the realization. So categorically stated, when we talk about Buddha Dharma and Buddha's teaching, it has two aspects. One is the scriptural aspect, and the other is the realization, inner realization aspect. Now, inner realization aspect basically is to do with what we call three higher trainings. In Tibetan called Labhasum, three higher trainings. And these are the realizations that we need to cultivate within our own minds. But then we have to learn about them first, right? We have to educate ourselves about them first. And this is where comes the scriptural aspect of the Dharma, which is contained in what we call the Tripitika in Sanskrit, three baskets of teaching, for lack of a better expression in English. I don't like the basket so much, but I don't have a better word for that. So three baskets of Buddha's teaching. And the subject matters of these baskets are to deal with the scriptural aspect of the Dharma. And when we cultivate the three higher trainings within our mind, we have the realization aspect of the Dharma. So in order to have these deep experiences and realization into the three higher trainings, or to have the three higher trainings in our mind, in other words, first we have to educate ourselves about them. And this is why we talk about listening to teachings on the three baskets, or educating ourselves about the three baskets, and then contemplating the meaning of the teachings. So we often talk about Theba, listening to teachings, Samba, contemplating the meaning of the teachings. So these are, in a sense, if you will, prerequisites for us to develop the three higher trainings, which are the realizations within our own mind. Now the three baskets of the teaching in the Tibetan called Tenersum, or in Sanskrit called Tripitikas, these are all inclusive categories of the baskets. In other words, every scriptural teaching of a Buddha must be contained within these, you know, three baskets. Okay? And the three higher trainings, which are the realization aspect of the teaching, again, are all inclusive realizations, in the sense that every spiritual realization that we could gain, you know, is inclusive within, or could be included within, these three higher trainings.
Ranta, Maranzo, Dungheli ten the Tarvatan, and Dungheli Tabashev Karugusana, and Nyomobi, Nyambu Tarangu, Nyomobi Nyambute, and the Condition Rangusana, Lan Lava Sumke, Nyanesini, Tela Tene, and it Nyamu Rangu Yapinyamu, the Tang Mavazoku.
So we all want to be free from suffering. We all have the same aspiration or the wish or the desire. Okay? But in order to free ourselves from suffering, we must get rid of delusions from within our mind, because delusions are the causes of suffering. Okay? There's no way around them. Okay? We need to counteract delusions within our mind. So in order to counteract the delusions, we need to cultivate antidotes to counteract the delusions within our mind. Okay. And the three higher trainings that I just mentioned constitute, if you will, the antidotes to counteract delusions within our mind and to get rid of them for good. So this is why we talk about, we emphasize listening to the teachings, or in today's language called education, about Dharma. Okay? So through education, we learn about the Dharma, and then we put it into practice, or cultivate the Dharma within our mind, which is the practice part. So that combination, study and practice, that we are able to generate the required antidotes in our mind to counteract the delusions and get rid of them, and to free ourselves from the state of suffering. So of course, we need to first listen to teachings on the three higher trainings. We need to engage in that education on the three higher trainings. So through education, through listening to teachings, we develop knowledge of the three higher trainings. Okay? So now we know so much, let's assume, about the three higher trainings. But then that knowledge itself is not enough. Okay? That sort of intellectual knowledge itself is good, but itself doesn't do much. Okay, you know so much, so what? Okay? And So if we know so much and we are able to explain things to others like most eloquently, so we can be really big mouth, yeah? But there's nothing inside, you know, it's just empty inside. So we know so much, we can be big mouth, you know, we can do amazing presentations and whatnot, but if we don't cultivate Dharma in our mind, really we haven't got the essence of the Dharma, if you will. Okay, we are missing the realization aspect of the Dharma. So once we have gained knowledge about the Dharma, it is of utmost importance that we put it into practice. We cultivate Dharma within our mind. Don't become, you know, dry, intellectual, big mouth, you know, and so on. So here is a very wonderful example that we find in Buddhist literature to illustrate the point at which I'm trying to make. Like in the case of someone who has got health issues, right, we call a sick person, yeah, in a nice way. Somebody who has got health issues. And so let's assume that sick person has read all about the medical literatures and knows so much about, okay, what kind of medicines he or she should take and, you know, all the ingredients to prepare the medicines and so on and so forth. But if this person does not take medicine, literally, if the medicine need to be orally taken, you need to do that. But if he or she can theorize about the medical field, theorize about the medicine preparation, everything, is that going to help much to recover from the sickness? Of course not. Okay, it's good. He or she knows so much about the medicine, but what's the point? Okay. In the same way, whatever spiritual topic that we are studying, something from the Lamrim, for example, stages of the path of enlightenment, once we learn about that, that is just the knowledge part. Okay, we really need to cultivate that, that path within our own mind. Which is the most important part.
So that never came to the Karadisana, Maranzo Gene, Digwata Mangu Sagaris. She said, Divasai at the Yen and never seen it. So what the mood in a contrata, and the church, and Naji, and Tado. The nigger one can say, Yenler, never can say that the social may lose my some time. That's the same, please.
All of us, accumulate a lot of negativities, negative karmas. And of course, we are not only confined to this lifetime. We are talking about many lives that we have had previously. So we, did a lot of negative karmas, and we carry them in our mind today. And if we look at our own life here and now, so to speak, because this is the life we kind of know now, right? We may not remember our past lives. What kind of actions do we find ourselves engaging in? Okay. We do create a lot of negativities in relation to other people and other sentient beings. Okay. And how do we do that? You know, if you ask, is because all of us have got what we call the delusions within our mind. Right at the very bottom, so to speak, is ignorance, avidya in Sanskrit, marigpa in Tibetan. Okay. From there arises what we call anger or hatred. And from it arises attachment or lust. Okay, so these are the three real poisons. And then, of course, so many other delusions pop up from them, right? We have jealousy and we have ego, ego grasping, and we have pride and arrogance, and you just name it. So when any of these delusions influence our way of thinking, then we are really not kind to other people. You know, we started to do something that is kind of silly and, negative. And that's how we hurt other people. And those are called negative karmas. So it's very important for us to understand that how we create and accumulate negative karmas under the influence of deluded thinking and in relation to other people and other sentient beings.
That thing is not done wrongly. Shen kanti yemi de san tang me yin shen de ma se she tang bo ale rang shen de rang shen de ke chen chen de le ni shen kanti do de ta she wa ma ma le de ni mang bu ji de ba mang bu ji sa yo re me gi le mang bu she re de le te ni de bi dung ge mang bu ji chung re ta shin che le de be cham che ni she wa shi ma pe de yang ni yang de te ni sun dro mo ge ji ta ale tang bu ge de san tang ro ma.
So as we talk about these things, all of us should really focus on ourselves. Look inwardly, okay? What I, as an individual, have been doing. You know, don't look at what other people have been doing. Okay? As we often say, and Kechala usually never say this way, but just to make the point, that's none of our business. That's my footnote here. Okay? So it's not our business to what others are doing or not doing. You know, it is our business to think what I have been doing or thinking. Okay, inside me and what I've been doing. And so when we look at our own life here and now, how many negativities that we have accumulated and that we, you know, we do accumulate. And based on this, we can infer that in our many past lifetimes, we did many of these things before and worst kind. Okay, and due to our negative karmas, we already suffered a lot. We just don't remember it because negative karmas never bring good outcomes. They always bring problems and suffering. So we have been through so much, and we do go through so much in this lifetime. And then we ask ourselves, do I want to perpetuate this kind of a life? Okay, go on forever and ever. Then once I die again, I will be in a more difficult situation. I'll keep creating more negativities and, you know, more suffering. Do I want that to happen? And then we ask ourselves, we say, no, I do want to, you know, cut the link, if you will, you know, between this link between delusions and suffering, so that in my future lives, or the next life, actually, I do not have to be reborn in a difficult situations, more difficult situations.
You try to. What is
it? Yeah, Bishla, you can speak English.
Okay. That re zozachini tangi hima imbas ten chaba ki go do ten de gandul do was chue ya da ba ji go chue de gandul do was ta gari na rasan chaba sheni rasan chaba sheni shwa shimal za pa ni song ne ne cham mo ge ji ta cham ki cham ki ge cham tang ge.
So as Geshe-la was trying to speak in his English, that now this is a good time that we really try at least, okay, to do something different, and if we could, to put an end to this whole chain of, you know, cause and suffering chain. That's it. And as I said before, you know, we have these wonderful resources right now. We found this wonderful, precious human life. You know, we have met with the authentic teaching of the Buddha. Now, the other thing we need to do is make efforts from our side that we do not fail ourselves. Right? All these other wonderful resources are there. We got to use them. Yeah. And so that we do not have to go round and round and round and round in samsara, you know, forever.
COVID, zhōr, zhōngkhāng tē, rāng, zhāngbā rīng mā tō, yīng tē, rāng, nyam tē shū siyāng tē pā tē tā, rāng tē tē nī yuā mā rās.
The samsara that each of us are trapped in is very intimate and personal samsara. It's really, in a sense, not shared by other people. It's not a case like samsara is a prison that other people create and then they lock us inside it, you know. So now we are in the samsara. No. We create our own samsara or cyclic existence and we are trapped in it, you know. And other people are really not part of it. They are part of their samsara, you know. They created their own samsara. Why I said it's very personal, it's very intimate when we talk about samsara is because samsara is intimately related to our own individual state of mind or consciousness. Okay? Samsara is not something that is out there which has nothing to do with our state of mind. It's not something a phenomenon existing out there which is unconjoined with, that's a fancy word there, right, with our way of thinking. Samsara is something intimately connected with our way of thinking and our state of mind or consciousness. So therefore, you can't get more personal and more, you know, intimate than that.
Kasan dimbas de zhenghan de le tawe jing ba de xie wo zhenghan zhenghan di ani har se da na le du jia yin ba jie da de xuan qian bu ji tong ne an de le tawe xie wo shen shen zhenghan se ya de shi dan ni mei ba xin ran ran gu zhe bei zhenghan qia ni le.
So remember, the great Kadamba Geshe was telling us that we really need to learn to see
Nyurumpa.
Geshe Nyurumpa, by the name, was advising us that we really need to see samsara as not a beautiful and happy place to be in, but it is a real prison. And then we describe what kind of prison. This is not a prison where, right, you get to watch TV and you get to play basketball and, you know, you have other things going around. You can watch the Olympic. This is not the kind of prison we're talking about. This is the worst kind of prison that one can imagine. And so we need to say, what is wrong with being in samsara? It is not a happy place to be. Okay? And so once we started to see what is wrong with samsara and being in a samsara, then we really get interested to say, how can I get out, right? If we see samsara as a happy place, right, then who wants to get out of a happy place?
So that the zhenghan de zhongkete ranju le yuebe dangzi marik pa zhuebe.
So then who created this such a, you know, worst kind of a prison we have locked ourselves in? It's called samsara or cyclical existence. Well, this is not created by, you know, some building materials and, you know, jailers and the guards, you know, they put us in and they're guarding us 24/7. This is not the kind of prison we're talking about. It is the prison created by our own ego grasping. You see, our self-grasping, ego grasping has created this, you know, terrible prison and then lock us inside it.
So that today, the Ranjili Yopi, Dangzi Maripati, Tseni, Kene, Pe, Mepazo, Tubina,
so whenever we are able to knock out or eliminate, get rid of this grasping from within our mind, that is the time, you see, it's really happy occasion that we have completely freed ourselves from the prison of samsara or cyclical existence. Then the samsara does not exist anymore for us or anymore for an individual person.
Ta rang jusa ge rang je pe rang jusa ge chenghan te me zo el kar ge ta dami to bi khere te gu ga res.
So then what is the most effective method or the antidote or the technique to uproot ego grasping or self grasping from within our mind? After all, that is the real culprit, you know, who created this, you know, samsara for us. So we need to cultivate the wisdom that realizes what is called selflessness. Once we realize what selflessness is and we experience it deeply, then we can get out of this samsara.
Tendik damet obi kherete ngute nyoye ya maris. Lama tendili chen chenyu kidingal zero sen che ya maris. Lame nan thoy ya maris ngajo kete chi ye ya maris. Rang rang damet obi kherete rang jane ranjuri chebi thau de rang tsene ashe rang ranjuri chebi chaures.
So if realizing selflessness is the most effective antidote to counteract and get rid of ego grasping and free ourselves from the state of samsara, right, then each of us, you know, have the right to do that. And this is the kind of antidote or a technique we cannot go and shop around. You see, you just can't go to the mall and say, I got this much money and can you sell me something called, you know, wisdom realizing selflessness. What is the price tag? You know, I'll pay it, you know, or is it on discount? No. That's not how it works. And we cannot go to a lama, you know, we just plead to death. You know what? Please, you are compassionate and you save me and, you know, you just give me this wisdom. Okay, I'll do anything you say. No, there's nothing a lama can do about it. You make a gift here. Okay? The only way we could make that gift to ourselves is we study about what it is, then we cultivate it, and this is the only way. So this is just, you know, wonderful. We all have the equal right here. You see, there's no way to sneak around and, you know, to find some shortcut, you know, route. There isn't. See, this is where the individual responsibility comes into play, and you do it for yourself. Yeah, but we, and of course, do not get confused with when we say there is no shortcut around here, right? What we really mean is you have to do it yourself. There is no way to sneak around and do. But of course, we do talk about at a certain other level, there is a shortcut way to become an enlightened being quickly. Okay? We are not talking about that kind of shortcut. So I think one must not get confused between when I said there's no shortcut way around here, there's no way to go and shop around for the wisdom realizing empty selflessness, there's no way and plead to death to the Lama, I said, please save me, you are my, you know, whatever. And then as if that's the, you know, will do it. No, you just do it for yourself. There's no shortcut way around it. But another thing I do want to mention is that in order to become a complete enlightened being, we must get rid of the two types of mental obscuration. We said obscuration to liberation and obscuration to omniscient state, right? In order to do that, we must accumulate two types of collection of merit, punya, and collection of wisdom called jnana. Okay, we have to complete these two types of collection or accumulation, kind of a, not a fancy way to say in English, but you get the sense of what we're saying here. Okay, and so there is no, again, shortcut here. Everybody who wants to become a Buddha must get rid of the two types of mental obscuration, no excuse here and there, no sneaking around here and there. Okay, everybody who wants to become a Buddha must complete the two types of accumulation of merit and wisdom. There's no other shortcut way around it. But having said that, if we follow tantric method of the path, tantric is considered as a very profound and a speedy path. So through the practice of tantra, one will be able to do that much faster. Okay? Mm-hmm. So that can be called shortcut way in some other sense.
No, no. That sounds like that. Thank you. Так, она санджи кемди гани дюжала канди шабне канди сине пента пента гересена чуни деба тембе чова жосте ленд канандо.
So I once again want to kind of clarify this one, emphasize that, you know, when it comes to liberating ourselves, you are your own protector and you do it for yourself. You cannot go and plead to a lama, said, you know what, I'll make this offering and, you know, can you save me, you know, from, no. A lama, even however he or she wants to do that, there's no way to do that, right? This is what each of us need to do. And Shakyamuni Buddha, our historical teacher, has been absolutely clear about that. You know, he really didn't, you know, beat around the bush here, right? He said, as Geshe-la quoted one of the most famous stanzas, words of the Buddha, he said, "Thubnan dekwa chui mirishi," Buddha's do not and cannot wash the negativities of the sentient beings with some kind of a blessed water. Okay, that's very clear, right? So there is no blessed water to wash the negativities. That's it. Dove tunge chak misala. Buddhas cannot remove the suffering of sentient beings as if, you know, you can pull out a thorn that is pricking you, right? Buddhas cannot remove our suffering with their hands. Yes, they made that very clear. Yeah. They cannot transfer their realization as a gift into our mind. They say, you know what? Here's my great compassion. You take it. Here's my great love. You take that one. Okay? Here's my wisdom emptiness. You get this one. Okay? I share with you. No. Can't do it. Buddha said it very clear. Okay? Now we could ask the Buddha, then what can you do? Okay? Then how can you benefit sentient beings? Here is his answer. He said, Chunyi Dhamma Dhamma Travachu, I reveal or teach you about the ultimate nature of phenomena, all right? And you make your effort and realize it, this is what will liberate you. Okay? That's the only way Buddha could help. Buddha could only show us the path and teach us about what the ultimate nature of reality is, or phenomena is. Then we study it and we develop insight into it, and this is how we liberate ourselves. Now we're really clear with that, right? So Buddha is very clear about it, what he can or cannot do. So the one of the important point I'm trying to make here is that we all have been very fortunate to have this wonderful precious human life, to have met with the most authentic teaching of the Buddha. So, I mean, all those are wonderful resources. There's nothing wrong from their side, so to speak. Okay? Now, perhaps only thing missing is what we need to do from our side. Okay? That's the question we need to ask ourselves individually. And as I also emphasized before, that as important it is to educate ourselves about Dharma and know about Dharma, what is even more important necessary is to put it into practice. Many great Tibetan masters, you know, and the most prominent among them is Jerumuche, sitting over there, Manjushri Lama Tsongkhapa. He said it very clearly. He said, it's not enough to know about Dharma, right? You got to put it into practice. You got to cultivate it. That's what he said. So now let's return to this wonderful text called A Miscellaneous Collection of Great Kadamba Geshe's Personal Advices, and we will continue from where we left off last time. I do want to recapitulate the five things that the great Geshe Nyurumba said, and we did that last time, but I just want to recapitulate that for our own benefits.
That the dig and then went on a leak and then they were some top of dunking in us. Caricurus in a koala and a surin to his shepherd's house, cousin bus. Called the animal around a bit, drunk and took Jack Hubik in two divita. What the legs on that KGT in the German goodness on such a tandy and the sound he called Shangris.
Great Kadamba Geshe Nyurumba told his audience and us that anybody who is really interested to find a good rebirth temporarily and to find complete freedom from samsara called nirvana and complete enlightened state, such a person or people, the first thing they need to do is learn to regard or see samsara as a worst kind of a prison, you know, that one could imagine. Okay? So it's the worst kind of prison in the sense that we cannot spend any extra moment in this prison. It's such a terrible prison that it's just, we can't even tolerate another moment to be inside it. So then, as I mentioned earlier, that when we talk about I am trapped in a samsara, that means it is very personal and intimate related to my consciousness. You know, do not think like, oh, as if there are other people who are inside my samsara. No. They are in their
samsara. Okay.
So we really have to picture this samsara as, you know, terrible as we could, you know, really imagine. Like, this is such a, you know, prison that there's no real good friend or companion around us to help and support us. It's the kind of prison where we, you know, experience problem and suffering constantly in all the time. So this is what the kind of samsara we are in. So one of the things about being in the samsara is we are constantly being tortured or we experience suffering. Okay, that's it. It's not like we just got locked in a room. Okay, so what? Okay. Maybe we like it. You know, that's not the case. We were constantly, tortured by all kinds of suffering. Even the things which we really usually regard as maybe comfort and happiness and pleasure, these are, as a matter of fact, a form of suffering. I mean, this is where we usually we don't recognize it. So nothing in samsara is really good, you see. Even the things we consider as pleasurables and, you know, happiness, these are, as a matter of fact, a form of suffering. So in that regard, the way we see samsara regularly is we have really gone mad. We have gone mad people, right? When mad people, when they somehow cut themselves in whatever, they don't realize what they are doing. You see, they think it's fun to cut and let blood out of their body. You know, maybe that's kind of a fun thing to do. Cool. But it's a crazy thing to do, as we know. So in a sense, you know, we are deluded and we become a mad, crazy people that we don't see samsara, its real nature. We see it's something good. So in order to truly realize the suffering nature of samsara or cyclic existence, we have to contemplate it over and again, you know, continuously. It's not enough, like you said, you know what? Oh, today I spent this much time to think about it. Okay, that's done. Okay. Maybe next day, then we said, okay, I did for 1 week. Okay, now that's enough. I kind of graduated from there. Yeah, no, we don't graduate in 2-3 days, you know, thinking about this thing. We have to constantly contemplate and reflect upon the suffering nature so that we truly realize what samsara is. Once we really started to gain the realization of the true nature of samsara, then we really feel inside, we develop so much aversion to samsara that we do not want to spend another second or a minute inside it because it's such a terrible, you know, situation to be in. So now we cultivate that kind of aversion to samsara and its suffering, but now if we are following the Mahayana path or the Bodhisattva way of life, then we said, you know what, it's not only me who is trapped in this kind of a terrible samsara, but everybody else, all other sentient beings are in their state of samsara, you know. So I very much wish them to be free of their samsara as well. That's how we cultivate this empathy and compassion for other sentient beings.
No, no,
So the five things Geshe Nyungru said was, first we should realize the samsara as the worst kind of a prison that anybody could be in. Then the second thing he said, we should see that our life and body are as transient as, you know, the rise and the fall of the water bubbles, right? If we just watch these water bubbles, they just rise and fall, you know, in a split of a second. So our life and body are as impermanent, as transient, as ephemeral as the water bubbles, you know, bursting, rising up and falling apart.
That is on the tongue, rang le pento kar yong ndo san tang re.
Of course, then we want to think, like, what's the point of doing this kind of thinking, you know? Is there any benefit I get out of just thinking that my life is like a bubble rising up and falling apart?
Yeah.
Contemplating the impermanent nature of life and things has a tremendous spiritual benefits. Okay? So if we are someone, we said, you know what, give me a break about something called Dharma. What is that? You know, I don't get it, so I'm not interested. You know, we're not interested right from the beginning. But when we really think about how life is disintegrating or changing every moment, then it really teaches us some lesson, you know, that there is something more than just getting sucked into all the worldly things. There's more meaning to life that we could achieve. So it could help us, it could motivate us to engage in spirituality right from the beginning. Or if we have already entered into the Dharma, it could help us to stabilize our faith in the Dharma. And it helps us to, you know, stop creating negative karmas. Okay? Now imagine this. If we are going to die for sure this very moment, okay, that means we are dying. Yeah? Now think about all the things we consider very important thing to do. Okay? Does it really make any sense to get mad or angry when I'm dying this very moment? Does it make any sense that I'm getting so much attached, obsessively attached to someone when my life is really slipping from my hand? I'm dying here. Okay? Does it make any sense that I become jealous and envious of someone when I'm really dying here? You see, nothing is really of any use and meaning when we think from that perspective, a lot of the things we do in our life. In the Lamrim treatises on the stages of the path of enlightenment, it's clearly stated that some of the benefits of contemplating impermanence or transitory nature of life and things is, in the beginning, it really becomes a great motivator for us to take interest in spirituality and to engage in spiritual development. In the middle, as we are cultivating spirituality, it helps us to maintain our spirituality and succeed in what we do. And then at the end, this, you know, contemplation and understanding of impermanence, it helps us to fruition our practice. It brings our practice to the state of fruition, where we can enjoy the fruits now.
So, sir, that is one of us. Je tangi kangbe je tangi ganani ane lambo che je chodchuba insun. Ane duhe tangi ganani matabin duhe chodchuba ins. An duska na was.
So much is, you know, talked about the importance of realizing impermanence. You know, somewhere in a sutra it said, of all the footprints, you know, those of an elephant are the biggest footprints. Of all kinds of awareness or recognitions, the Tibetan term is called dusye, recognition or awareness. Awareness of impermanence is really the most powerful awareness. So as I said, I was trying to recapitulate the 5 points Geshe Nyurumba mentioned, and the third point is we must, you know, watch out and kind of save ourselves from the influence of what we call negative friends. Digbe Trokpo in Tibetan. Negative friends is defined as someone who influences us, you know, directly or indirectly, more in a sneaky way, to get us do something negative. Okay? And as we talked about before, you know, they could be smiling, you know, they could treat us, you know, they could invite us, or whatever they do. But underneath all that, what they are trying to do is get us further and further away from Dharma and positive things and get us involved in something negative. So such a people could be family members, as I mentioned before, but are called negative friends. And these negative friends are really our enemies, you know, in a sense, who block our spiritual development. So we will stop there and we give you some time to ask questions. So be kind to speak loudly so that I don't have to repeat and misrepresent your words.
I'm having a question.
What's the question?
Okay, thank you.
Any questions? No.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, please. Yeah. Okay, could you say your question loudly? Right.
How can samsara be so bad if that's where we meet Geshe?
Okay, for the internet people, I think that's what, I guess, not Lotte, you're supposed to, I think I'm supposed to do it, you know, wherever the internet people are. Okay, if anybody is hooked to the internet, this is the question being asked, that how could samsara be that terrible and bad as we described before? After all, we have the chance to meet with Geshe-la.
Yeah. Yes. In that series,
So one of the things we want to talk about is, you know, for certain specific reasons, we focus on the suffering, the bad side of the samsara, so that we develop aversion to it and we will learn to get out of it. But having said that, the things we find in samsara, which are kind of disturbing in many ways, you know, but they could also become conditions for us, you know, to do something good. Yeah? For example, things we encounter in samsara could become a favorable condition for us to cultivate compassion or bodhicitta or altruism, or could also sometimes become conditions for us to meet with, you know, spiritual teachers. As much as we are trying to put down samsara, but we also need to recognize the fact this is where it all starts. This is the launching pad, right? And Shakyamuni Buddha, right, who is now a Buddha, and we take refuge in him, and, you know, we follow his path. But where did he start at all? He started in samsara. So samsara was kind of a launching pad that we can launch ourselves to the state of enlightenment. Okay? So I mean, as much as we put it down, but it is also something where we get to start everything and we can grow spiritually towards enlightenment.
So
So the suffering we encounter in samsara could also become an instigator for us to find spiritual path and follow that path and get us out of samsara. So if there is no suffering, if we don't realize what suffering is, then there's really no way for us to cultivate all the necessary attitudes which will lead us to the complete enlightened state. You know, supposing, say, we are in a situation state where there's no suffering, so to speak, right? Then, in spiritually speaking, that's a terrible state to be in. You know, we will never develop many spiritual qualities and attitudes that we need to cultivate to become a Buddha.
저러 가지고 참말로 딱 그러세요. 코웨넬 추니 동이 기부지 용구여도 이나이 디나니야 코랑을 펜토이야 그다 근데 그 대신 산지 제리여스 나 참말 산지 제리여스 코때인데 세 조지여스 제 레망부여스 나서 레 개바도 메기 레망부지여스 그래서 디여스니 아니 뒤따도 나서 메기 레테 남이디 용구여 말스코 레 개웨 아니
So, okay, this is what I want to say, that you know, we are in samsara or cyclic existence, and the true nature of samsara is nothing but suffering. But having said that, we also have great qualities, such as we have got the seed of enlightenment within our mind. Okay? And because of that, we have the potentiality a possibility to become a Buddha eventually. Every sentient being has that seed. Every sentient being who is in samsara has got the seed of enlightenment in their mind to become a Buddha. At the same time, being in samsara, it's not like we always do negative things. We do create positive karmic actions as well. When these positive karmic actions ripen, then we, so to speak, in a better part of samsara. You know, samsara doesn't look that bad. You know, things are kind of cool and nice and going fine. You know, but when the negative karmas arrive in, then it's the terrible headache, you know, situation here, right? So we are in samsara, we do create negativities, we do create positive actions, and these different karmas, they manifest and they arrive in different. Yeah. So that's why it's not like all the time in samsara we suffer, you know, because when the good karmas arrive in, we get kind of a little rest and, you know, relief. Maybe samsara is kind of revolting here. Or my samsara, I say. Geshe-la says, you know, the question you raised is really important, that, you know, in being in samsara, we have this opportunity to meet with Geshe-la. Okay, man, this could be a result of a good karma, you know, because we do create good karmas, right? We should not think that just because we have the fortune to meet with qualified spiritual masters, therefore we use that as a reason, right? Oh, samsara is after all not bad. You know, samsara is true nature is suffering. It's better to get out of samsara. But we also recognize that the good karmas that we create in samsara also bring us with the holy masters and bring us into dharma.
Okay.
Okay. So anyway, we have to make every effort to see that samsara, its true nature is suffering, and there's really nothing good about samsara. But we do create certain good karmas while in samsara, and they ripen, and they help us to meet with qualified teachers, or meet with dharma, or meet some better circumstances. If we do not see the suffering nature of samsara, we will never renounce samsara. We will never develop aversion to the misery in samsara. So if we never develop this aversion to samsara and its misery, then we will never develop this true aspiration seeking nirvana or freedom from samsara. So when we talk about the good karmas we create in samsara and what good results they bring, that seems like samsara, you know, we can kind of balance out a little bit. You know, it's not, you know, just absolutely negative and terrible thing, but there are certain things, you know. But, you know, whatever good things we do in samsara and things, we appreciate those things, but do not use them as a reason to say samsara is good in some sense, you know.
Oh, yeah. What I think is. That thing is in that universe.
Any other question?
That to Jesus in your name.
The student meets you here and listen to the teaching. Is that the good karma that we create in the past, or we are creating the good seed for the future? How do we know?
Both ways.
The question that being asked is, you know, that this, you know, fortune we have to meet with Geshe-la here in samsara, is it the result of the good karma we created in the past lives, or is this a karma, new karma we're creating, which will be good in the future? So the answer is, you know, it's related to the, what we did in the past and what we are doing now.
Okay, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Our meeting you now, does that mean that we actually had a relationship with you in the past?
So what Geshe-la says is that, you know, together in the past lives, Geshe-la and we all created, you know, karmas to be here together. Okay. And so as a result of that cause, we created already, because the result must follow the cause. We created the cause in the past, and now we are enjoying the result. We are together here.
Yeah, in the future, if we make it good, then some sagros.
Right, so and now together we create good karma, so in the future we will enjoy, you know, the result being together.
Mm. Oh yeah, that's the result.
Yes, I am almost forgetting the announcement and the request here. Geshe-la will be giving refuge vows to new students and students who want to restore their vows are also welcome on Sunday, August 31st, 9:30 in the morning before the teaching, because teaching is at 10:30. Okay? So refuge vows for new students means like if you truly decided to follow Buddhism as your path. So you want to be a Buddhist. It's not like you study and you practice something. But you really think this is the path I want to follow for life. Then you can take something called refuge vows. You know, with the help of the guru, you go for refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. So that's called refuge vows. So it seems like some students have requested. And so we will, Geshe-la will do refuge vows August 31st, Sunday, 9:30 in the morning. And people who want to take refuge vows newly, of course, they're most welcome. And those who have taken it before and transgressed their vows could also come and restore their vows. And the prayer request I have is, Michael Kenneth Groves passed away Saturday, and prayer is requested for him.
Oh, yeah, the Doreen to me.
Doreen. I think since like somebody asked, you know, if they have to individually and personally come to Geshe-la, say, you know, could I come to take the refuge? Well, Geshe-la said, no, that's all right. You know, now he says, you know, people who want to take it, you are welcome. Traditionally and, you know, yeah, strictly speaking, yes. You know, you individually come and make a request and then the Lama accepts it and then you come, you know. But we are trying to make life a little easier, I suppose. We are in the United States of America and California, I think. That's it.
Shadon Golujave Jaboto, Shadon Gava Zombie Sangito, Kanakandu Telatita, Zumba Sherezana Chatelo, Omani pay me home, and 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 me
Whatever merit we have accumulated together, today, we dedicate it for the flourishing of Dharma, the source of benefits and happiness throughout the universe. May His Holiness the Dalai Lama and all other great masters and holy beings live long and be successful in fulfilling their visions, benefiting sentient beings. May spiritual communities throughout the world and spiritual practitioners from all traditions remain healthy, harmonious, and be successful in fulfilling their spiritual goals. May these and other world environments be free of all kinds of unwanted pains and problems, and beings find peace, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality. In short, we dedicate our collective positive energy for all kind mother sentient beings to be free from the fears and dangers of two types of mental obscuration, and may we all reach complete enlightened state quickly.
Thank you.